destinations, places all over India. What brings us together here is Krishna. Did you ever think of that? What is bringing us together is, who is he? What is it? You may say Radhe Shyam has brought us together, or your IYF leader made such arrangement. But that person is just a secondary cause or intermediate cause. The cause of all causes is Sri Krishna. Sarva Karana Karanam. I do not see any other reason for us being here today but Krishna. This is the spirit of Bharatvarsha, nowadays known as India. What binds people together is Krishna, Krishna consciousness, culture. Even the Britishers, they had this realization while they were trying to defeat the Indians or weaken their forces or divide them. And then they realize, oh, these people, all these people, Indian people are bound with the bonds of Krishna consciousness, God consciousness is binding them together. If we wish to divide them, we need to weaken these bonds, break these bonds. We have to minimize their faith in their Krishna consciousness, in their God consciousness, in their Bhagavad Gita, in their culture. And once we succeed doing so, then we'll capture India. And, well, they did it. Kind of succeeded ruling this country for over 200 years or about 200 years. And anyway, and you probably are thinking, ours is independent nation now. India attained independence in 1947. But question is, have we really become independent? Or have we become even more dependent than ever before? Maybe there was just one country ruling India prior to 1947, and who knows how many countries are now ruling this India. political freedom is just one thing. We have become the rulers. The Indians have become prime ministers and the presidents and chief ministers. But what are we ruling? What are they ruling? The same stuff. Same old wine in new bottle. This is not a wine. Have we become Indians? Have we become Bharatiyas? Huh? In true sense, we do hear or read the advertisement saying what? Be Indian, buy Indian. Did you hear this or read? Be Indian, buy Indian. But dhoti is Indian. Huh? Patloon is Meri Patloon English Thaan ki. Mera juta hai Japan ka, not Kolhapur ka. Kolhapuri jutas, shoes are very famous, at least in Maharashtra. But we are proud of wearing jeans and boots from Japan and coat from Middle East. And cigar from who knows from where. Imported things are all that we care for. And for that we have all fast transportation, means of transportation like air cargoes and ships in the oceans are going back and forth speedily, and fast means of communication. And with that, lot of export, maybe some export, more import goes on. But these are just some goods. But with that also, lot of foreign thinking, foreign lifestyle. There was an English lifestyle one time, but now we wish to learn lifestyle and practice, imitate lifestyle from all over the world. Globalization is a buzzword. You heard globalization. The Pizza Huts are here and McDonald's. They are part of our culture. The school children, they get their lunch packets from McDonald's with who knows what they are eating. And we are very proud of all this nonsense. Has the educational system changed in the last 60 years? Have we denounced the Darwin's theory of evolution, although it had no room in our culture, in our religion, in our shastras? The education talking of or explaining that our origin is amoeba. We come from amoebas. Amoeba. Ba means bap. Our bap. Our great, 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 great grandfather is amoeba. Haribo. Isn't that a big joke? In Maharashtra we call Vitoba as our ba. Pandurang, who resides in Pandharpur, he is our Supreme Father. Or as we Read Bhagavad Gita. Aham sarvasya prabhavaha. Mattaha sarvam pravartate. Krishna says, I am the origin of everything that exists. Aham bijaha pradaha pita. I am the father. I am the seed-giving father of all the living entities. Krishna says, Is this not holding truth? Is not true anymore? Or since the introduction of the theory of the Darwin's theory of evolution? This. Srimad Bhagavatam explains how when the world was created, and first of all, there was a creator. Kya chal raha hai? Of this. There was a creator and then comes the creation. There is no question of if you accept the creation, then you have to think of there has to be creator. This microphone system has been created by Creator. Everything around us here, fan, pole, this sheets here, cloth there. There's a Creator. Why not Creator for the whole entire creation of the universe? So Lord says, I am that Creator. And that Creator created Brahma and empowered him to create. So the first creature in this creation is Brahma. And if you want to again say who is your bap, ba, then you could also say hey, Brahma. Brahma is the first creator. He is the original, not the original. But he is further creator in this universe. Now Brahma is not made up of just one cell. Brahma is a full-fledged personality. Highly intelligent. With four heads. That shows how much evolved he was. How much thinking and planning he had to do. That one head was not enough. God gave him four heads. Chaturmukhi Brahma. And he's the first one to come into existence from the lotus that sprouts from Garbhadakshay Vishnu and is born. Brahma is born on the lotus. And then he further creates. He creates all the entities, all the species simultaneously. 8,400,000 varieties of species. How accurate, how exact. This is science. If you're talking of science, you have to be very precise. Can any scientist born or dead, living, dead, any scientist could say there are X number of species in creation. Yes? Have you heard? You are a scientist or you belong to that what? Community? No. Yeah, you are. Or you have connection, you have some relationship with the scientific world and the scientists. So do they say how many species are there? No, they don't say. They can't say. They don't know. But one who knows, who is Supreme Personality of Godhead, Abhigya and Swarat. Abhigya means he is knower of everything, and his Swarat means he is also independent. Independently powerful and knower of everything. And not only, there's a number, 8,400,000 varieties of species. Then we hear further breakdown. Jalaja Navalakshani Jalaja. Those who take birth and reside in jal, in water, there are 900,000 varieties of species in the water. Krimaya Rudra Sankhyakaha. Krimi, the germs, worms are 11 lakhs. Let's simplify. 11 lakhs varieties of germs and worms. Pakshinam dasa lakshanam. The birds. How many birds? 1 million. 10 lakh varieties of birds. And 20 lakhs. 200,000 varieties of plants and 30 lakhs varieties of four-legged animals and 400,000 varieties, 4 lakhs of varieties of even human beings. So when you add this grand total, is someone writing down? You write? You get all the 9 lakh varieties of aquatics, 11 lakhs germs and worms, 10 lakhs birds, 20 lakhs plants, 30 lakhs animals, 4 lakhs human species. Grand total is 84 lakhs, Saurasi lakh, yoni. Species, 8,400,000 varieties of species were created in the very beginning of creation, billions of years ago. Where human beings have existed. Brahma is the first, he's a even superhuman. He's not only human, superhuman Brahma was created in the beginning of the creation. So we are Brahma ki avlad, not Bandar ki avlad, as Darwin is proposing. Evolution, okay, from amoeba this happened, that happened, that species, okay, finally there was a monkey, apes. They were most evolved species some 6,000 years ago. And from monkeys comes the present day batch of human beings. Monkeys, they were walking on the four legs, but then for some sake of convenience, what is the Darwin's, what does he say? Why the species? From one species you go to another species, to another. Natural selection. Yeah, natural selection. So from apes, they selected, they chose, they made different attempts. So monkeys gradually started standing up on their hind legs. And their four legs transform gradually into the hands, and the tail disappeared. Had no use for human being. And this is how human being came into existence. So we are Bandar ki aulad versus Bhagavatam says we are Brahma ki avlad. We are coming from Brahma. He's the first living being. So if this was really independent country, then immediately in 1947, we could have dumped, thrown into the garbage, that Darwin's theory of evolution. which was never approved, never recognized by Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam, by Madhvacharya or Ramanujacharya or Shankaracharya or Tulsidas or Narasimha Mehta or... It's a big, big list. No one. Neither did Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada approve of this. Life comes from life, not from matter. And original life is Krishna. Everything comes from Krishna. And Krishna is a supreme scientist. Prabhupada was talking this language all the time. Based on Gita and Bhagavatam, which is nothing but what? Only truth is spoken in Gita and Bhagavatam. So there's some kind of dream of so-called father of nation, Mahatma Gandhi, that once India is independent, what we would do? We'll establish Ram Raj. That's a dream. And instead of Ram Raj, what is getting established? Rakshas Raj, Ravan Raj. Ravan is that person who becomes the cause of tears, cries, agony, suffering of others. That person is Ravan. So at the time of Ram, some almost 1 million years into the past, one Ravan existed. Now how many? Ghar ghar mein. Every town and village has Ravan. If not every home, you will find some kind of big or small size of Ravan who is making life miserable of people around him, people under him. So many people say, oh, that British Raj was much better. Some people, oh, that's British Raj was. Why did he get into this? So it's a big question, whether have we become independent? All our ideas, thoughts, goods, everything is being imported. And everything that is original, spiritual, eternal, beneficial, is being neglected like anything. There was a time the students they traveled from all over the world to India. Nalanda, Takshashila, where some of the big names, big universities. The students would come and study there and return to their respective countries with a certificate. Yes, I'm degree holder from Nalanda. I am from Takshashila. And then they would be recognized. Unless they have this degree. They are not considered knowledgeable persons. Now it is just the... You have to have a Harvard or Cambridge degree. So travelers came, so many persons coming to India to learn. Even Jesus Christ was here 2000 years ago, traveling into India, going to Jagannath Puri, there's a understanding that he took part in Rath Yatra of Jagannath. Jai Jagannath. The Chinese came from all countries, from all over the world. This Chinese traveler came. What was his name? You know the name, little difficult name. So he traveled and he was impressed. Oh, he was amazed with the quality of life and education and the culture and everything, the knowledge, the body of knowledge. So on the back home, back to China, not back to Godhead. Now he made copies of so many scriptures. All that you need to know is there in Shastras. Not only about the soul and supreme soul, but everything about the management, about ruling the country, about the cooking, about the architect, about chemistry, the physics, everything that you need to know is there, right there in the Shastras. In Pak Shastra, or Sthapatya Shastra, all the Shastras. Right there. Dealing with all aspects of knowledge. Complete body of knowledge. So he made copies of many, many, many scriptures. And he had a boat loaded with the scriptures. Now he was heading back home, back to China, traveling. And he had some Indian scholars. They were also traveling. So that once the scriptures are there, the scholars would explain, interpret the Shastras, give the purpose to the texts of those Shastras. So they had to travel through different oceans and seas before reaching China. So on the way, they had a trouble. Sometime. There's a storm, big waves, and the boat was rocking. And only way to survive through that rocky travels in the ocean was to download or offload some of those bundles of scriptures. So they were considering, seriously considering, almost came to conclusion that we have to dump some of these boxes of books into the ocean so that boat becomes lighter and hence they will be survived. There's a bigger chance of survival. So while they were about to do it, the scholars traveling from India, accompanying them, said, "No! Hands off! Stop! What's the matter?" They explained. "The load is too heavy. We have to minimize the load." They said, "You better dump us into the ocean. The scriptures are very, very valuable. Even more valuable than our lives. You take our life, throw us into the ocean. But take these scriptures with you." And by the grace of God, they passed the test. Things were back to normal and they managed bringing everything to China along with the scholars. The point is not very difficult to understand. the whole world realize the value of the body of knowledge that existed in India, spoken by God, spoken by Krishna. And that body of knowledge spoken by Krishna is, what is it called? Bhagavad Gita as it is. The body of knowledge, information that speaks about Krishna is Bhagavatam and other Shastras and other scriptures, other books of knowledge. People around the world, they were recognizing how valuable, how important are these scriptures. And the culture and religion and lifestyle, and the values based on this, these Shastras. Books are the basis, Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada used to say. Books are what? The basis. And of course, which book is a basis? Which book is a basis? Bhagavad Gita is a basis, basic book. Bhagavatam is a basic book like that. Scriptures are the basic, books are the basis, foundation. And then everything could be based on that knowledge. So if you wish to bind India together, this country together, then as we pointed out, which was even realized by Britishers, we said, what is binding us is Krishna, God, the Shastras, Krishna consciousness, the culture, that binds us together. Otherwise, there will be total disintegration. We'll be all into fractions like atoms. Eat individual item with no bonds in between them. Just the elements. Two parts of hydrogen. One part of oxygen is there, but they are not H2O. Only H2 is there, O is separate. What binds them together are the bonds. Even they are created by the Lord. So Krishna is that catalyst, Krishna is that doer, creator, He is all in all. And by His grace only, our spirits are being revived. And our attention is being drawn to the origin of all of us, and that's Krishna. Our attention is being attracted to ourselves, our real self. What is that real self? What is it? What is our real self? The soul, which is a goal of our life, and of course, supreme soul. And what if you gain the whole world? The Bible says, what if you gain the whole world but you lose your soul? What did you gain? Question being raised by Bible. So whole world is busy collecting some matter. But what matters more is the soul than the matter. It doesn't matter, really, What really matters is the soul. And that is what we are. This human form of life is meant for knowing ourselves, our soul. And then take care of that soul. Take care of yourself. We hear this mantra all the time. Take care of yourself. Your parents say the same thing, your friends say, your neighbors say. The President of India also may be saying the same thing. Take care of yourself, take care of yourself. But have we ever thought of who is that self? Who is that soul? Is a body our self? No, it cannot be. We are in the body. We are not this body, we are in the body. This is the lesson number one taught by Bhagavad Gita. Dehi nasmin yatha dehi kaumaram yavanam jara tatha dehantara praktis dhiras tatra namuihati. So we are dehi, not deha. Deha is one thing, dehi is yet another thing. Deha is matter and dehi is anti-matter. Even Russian scientists are coming to such conclusion. Did you hear, read about this? Easy journey to other planet. Prabhupada wrote this book some 30, 40 years ago. And he said that the scientists, Russian scientists are coming to conclusion that if there is a matter, there must be antimatter. Then it could be complete. They were only thinking. But this was a concluded long time ago. At the beginning of creation, this was made known to all the human beings that matter and anti-matter exist. Both exist. While scientists only 40 years ago, they only started thinking, oh, there must be anti-matter also. So matter is a body, antimaterial is a spirit soul. And we are the soul. This is ABC. ABC of the spiritual knowledge. So happy, happy we shall be when we learn our ABC. We shall be happy, happy, happy we shall be when we learn our A and B and C and D also. So ABC is, we are spirit souls. You have to know ABC before you become PhD. Do you know any PhD person? He doesn't know even ABC, but he is PhD. So you have to know the soul, and then you move on, make progress and become PhD learned. So we are meeting about the time that Krishna and Arjuna had met in... We are meeting here in Pune. around the time Krishna and Arjuna had met. Where? In Kurukshetra, some 5,000 years ago. In few days from today, to be precise, just on Sunday, this coming Sunday, it seems that you know already, you are aware, Gita Jayanti festival. Whole world is going to be celebrating Gita Jayanti. Jayanti means appearance. Gita appeared. Or even technically, Gita took birth, Jayanti. Hanuman Jayanti and this Jayanti. Say Krishna Jayanti. Then Gita Jayanti means Gita's birthday. Gita was born. Who gave birth to Gita? In which womb did Bhagavad Gita take birth from? Which womb? Instead of being a womb, it was mouth of Ya Swayam Padmanabhasyam Mukha Padmat Vinisritaha. From the Lord, what kind of Lord? Padmanav. Lord with a lotus navel and with his lotus mouth. Lord with a lotus mouth, lotus navel and lotus mouth. From the lotus mouth, Gita appeared on Mokshada Ekadasi day. On day of Ekadasi, Gita appeared and immediately liberated someone. Mokshada means giver of liberation. Bhagavad Gita liberated. Who was the first one to be liberated? Arjuna was liberated. And so Gita was born in Kurukshetra on Mokshada Ekadasi day. What time? What time did Bhagavad Gita appear? Took birth? Right? Here's the time. I was born in early morning hours, 40 minutes after 3 in the morning. We always say like that. So if Gita was born, there must be time. What time did Bhagavad Gita take birth? Some guesses? The beginning of the day. Beginning of the battle, you said? Beginning of Ekadasi. What time sun rises these days? 6 in Pune, what time in Kurukshetra? There are different times, right? In Bengal is, and here is 1 hour difference. Of course, I think Kurukshetra is same time zone as ours. A little different, not much difference. So you know what time sun is rising these days. So around that time, there was a blowing of conch shells. Krishna and Arjuna's chariot had come on the scene. Svetair hayair yuktei mahati shandane sthitau. Hari, hari, hari. Mahati shandane, the great chariot, beautiful chariot. Beautifully carved and decorated chariot. Drawn by the horses Svetai Hayair Yuktai. The horses, the color of the horses, what color? Svet, like you are wearing your dhoti's kurta's color. The white horses were drawing that chariot. And in the back sat Madhava and Pandava. Were sitting in their chariot. Madhav is Krishna and Pandav is here. So now one son was sitting. Arjun was sitting. And Madhav, he had become the chariot driver. Arjun was Rathi. Arjun was Rathi. The soul is Dehi in the Deha. So Arjun was Rathi in the Rath. He was a main person. It was meant for him. Chariot was meant for him. Meant for Rathi, meant for Arjun. It was Arjun's chariot. But along with Rathi, there was Sarathi also. Important person is Rathi, and along with him there was Sarathi, just to drive the chariot, driver. And who was the driver? Partha Sarathi. Who was Sarathi? He was a Partha Sarathi, son of Pritha. Who is Pritha? Kunti. Kunti is another name, is Pritha. Pritha, Pritha, Pritha's son is Partha, and his Sarathi is Partha Sarathi, was driving the chariot. And then some developments are taking place. Arjun, he was such a great warrior, an archer, a disciple of Dronacharya. Only one person was better archer compared to Arjuna. That was Ekalavya. And as soon as Dronacharya found that out, "Oh, I'm your guru. Give me Dakshina." "Yes, sir. Yes, Guru Maharaj. Order. Give me your right thumb. Here it is." So, not Ekalavya, but who became the number one archer? Arjuna. So, that he was there. But by seeing all those family and friends there, he was melted. He stepped down. He got into bodily concept of life. He forgot he was a spirit soul. He forgot the supreme soul. And he forgot that he had to execute the order of the supreme soul. Instead of following, understanding what he wants and just do it, just do it, he started thinking independently. He cut off himself from kind of from the Lord, or Lord's wish, Lord's vision, Lord's desire, Lord's plan, Lord's strategy. Because he was an illusion. Full body concept. He was bodily conscious. And then he made connection with all those present there. No. Not possible to kill. No, I can't do. Then Krishna had to speak up. And what Krishna spoke has become known as, what is it known as? What? What did he say? I can't just say it. Bhagavad Gita. As it is. And then Arjun heard Bhagavad Gita, and what did he say at the end? Nasto moha. Right? He said, nasto moha. Finished. He was in full illusion in the beginning. So Krishna has There's a demonstration. Okay, here is a person with full illusion. Now see what happens. Watch him. Krishna took one sample person in total illusion, bewildered. He doesn't know what to do, what not to do. He's just is lost, gone. So many questions at crossroads. Then Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita. And the same person at the end of that dialogue, what was his conclusion? What was that hearer's resolution? I'm free from illusion. Illusion is gone, finished. Nasto moha smriti. My memory has been revived. Gata sandeha, no more doubts. I'm free from doubts. And okay, then what? Are you going to do something? Yes, I'm ready. Karishe vachanam tava. You just order me. Your wish is my command. Your wish is my command. You just order me. I'm ready to go. So as this one person, one sample person who was in full of illusion, etc., was made free from that illusion, etc., other things. What became the cause of freedom from illusion? Bhagavad Gita. Same Bhagavad Gita is available today. Does that Bhagavad Gita have same potency as 5,000 years ago? Or by using, some say this, that potency is minimized or lost. This is only foolish conclusion. Purnam adaha, purnam idam. Purnam adaha. This is purnam adaha. That is purnam. And idam purnam. This is also purnam. Purnat purnam udachyate. Anything that comes from purna becomes also purna. When you take purna out of purna, what is the balance? Also purna. Do you have any experience like this? This is another world. It's out of this world. 1 minus 1 is equal to 1, not 0. So many people could take that potency from this and be benefited, and original potency remains complete, never minimized. So many have been benefited by this potent scripture, words of God. To this day, it is intact, all potency, all knowledge. So what is our position? We are in position of Arjun before the dialogue. The beginning of the battle of Kurukshetra, first day, as he arrived, it was an illusion. That's our position in this world. And if we want to come to conclusion, yes, you are saved, boldly. Nasto moha. No more illusion. No more doubts. Sthitosmi. I am situated properly in my constitutional position. We could also come to that conclusion, realization, by doing what? What? It's obvious. By doing by hearing what? Bhagavad Gita ki. So please study Bhagavad Gita and be happy. And Hare Krishna. And Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama.
Quick question someone has.
While explaining the descendants of the creation, you said that Brahmaji has created all of us. But actually, we have heard that every soul will be given the post of Brahma and we will be fallen from that post. Right now we are in a fallen condition. So initially we are in Brahma stage, and so can you explain this?
We all become Brahmas first. There are lots of Brahmas, so I suppose there is a lot of scope for all of us to go through that stage, Brahma, and then come down. But more easy understanding is, that may be some exception or there may be something more to say about that. The Lord picks up the most pious person and he is given the post of Brahma in each universe. The most pious person occupies the post of Brahma. But there is, I'm sure, is what you said. We also become grain, and someone eats the grain, and then many things happen. I'm not. Yeah. It was quick. At least I made it quick. When did Jesus come? When? Well, everybody used to come to India. To learn yoga, he came to India. India was a big seat of learning. So their Aquarian gospel, one kind of Christian scripture explains about his travels overseas or his absence from Middle East. It is for learning matter or so-called scientific things, people look forward to go to the West. And to learn about the spirit, spiritual matters, Bharatvarsha is the one. India is the one. All the countries, all the scholars, all the persons aspiring to acquire knowledge, they always travel to India. So this traffic has only kind of stopped as a few centuries or otherwise in the past they always traveled. Yes, more you want to say? Jesus is a pure Vaishnava, so hence there's even greater reason for him to come to India. India is full of Vaishnavas. One Vaishnava is attracted by other Vaishnava. Or there's lots of assemblies of Vaishnavas all over India. That's why they used to come. to meet Vishnu and meet Vaishnavas. Sadhu sang, sarva shastre koi. Lava matra sadhu sange, sarva siddhi hoi. If you want to become wrestler, what do? You go where the wrestlers get together. Right? You want to become actor, what do? You go to Bombay. So like that. If you want to be yogi, want to be a devotee, want to be Vaishnav, lover of God, love thy Lord with all thy heart, where do you go? You go to the country, go to the people, wherever they are. So India was known like that. But some different kind of propaganda has been made, and now that kind of traffic. But even some people to this day, they come looking for yoga or guru or they come to India. A lot of these travelers, tourists coming to India, they go to Rishikesh, many go to Goa also. But because we are not promoting, India is not promoting, we are ashamed, we are want to hide our culture and God and want to show them something else. All the tourists coming to India, they're all encouraged to go to Taj Mahal. On the way there's a Mathura. Indian government doesn't talk so much of Mathura, while they want to make sure all the travelers go to Taj Mahal to see, what do they see there? The tomb, a dead place. There's a life in Mathura, Vrindavan. They won't like to see, show the life of India, but would like to show a dead place, like a Taj Mahal. We have lost the spirit, and we are trying to become materialists ourselves. So many people are coming to India now to do, also to do business with India. So many countries are coming and signing contracts with India. India is booming. The Bill Gates, he is going to be investing so many billions of dollars into India. And India is delighted. Well, all the holy places and holy men and holy scriptures all being neglected. So there's a different kind of, different values. So West is doing their dharma of promoting this amoeba culture or five-star hotel culture or the bhogavad, the gratification of senses and luxurious life. They are flourishing. The West is doing their job, what they know, what their dharma is. But if India also giving up their own dharma, also does the same stuff that West is expected to do or had been doing, then who would look after dharma? Who would protect dharma? Srila Prabhupada was the one who really cared for India's culture and religion. And he did everything possible within his might to protect and to revive and propagate that culture of India. Krishna consciousness, that had been always available in India. So this, the Western culture is becoming all, there's a globalization of it. But where is globalization of Bhagavad Gita? It was Atal Bihari Vajpayee, I heard from him directly as he was invited to come to temple opening of a Radha Parth Sarthi Mandir in New Delhi some 4 or 5 years ago. And he gave such a fiery speech. And he said, yes, India has to globalize Bhagavad Gita. If India should take any kind of globalization, that is Bhagavad Gita. He had just become Prime Minister, and we thought, oh, we are proud of such Prime Minister. Pradhan Mantri Hoto Aisa. But then that was first and last time we heard from him about this globalization. And our leaders have different sets of values. Not proud of Bhagavad Gita or Gomata or Ganga or those, yes. Yes, sure. Who was? Jesus Christ was a great personality.
So, even though the audience of Jesus Christ were not so elevated, he should have written this, or Krishna, he never gave clear understanding about God. So at least he should have written somewhere, or like a hidden treasure, he should have kept the real knowledge of God. He knows that real knowledge of God, as per our understanding. So he should have done that. Why he has, couldn't do that? Because of which there is much turmoil between Hinduism and Christianity now.
He was a very expert preacher, Jesus Christ. And preaching to the faithless is offense. Preaching to the faithless is an offense. So when Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita, he was talking to a Vaishnava. Bhaktosi me. You are my devotee, you are my friend. So he revealed everything unto him. But while Jesus had to preach, thou shalt not kill. Krishna did not have to say Arjun, thou shalt not kill. But while Jesus had to deal with his audience, he had to say, thou shalt not kill. You are all killers. So according to their faith and their depth of understanding, etc., Jesus only preached only so much. But not that he did not know more than that. That's why we understand from his life, he said, I have more to tell you, but not now. I'll come back. And I'll tell you more. So maybe by that time you would be ready for more. So like that, he knew the level of his audience, degree of the faith of his audience, and accordingly he preached. So, Only way to bind India is through Krishna consciousness. I said. India is through many religions. Hari Baba. Okay, let's stop here. Yeah, let's stop. I know. Yeah, okay, you become good Christian. The trouble is, we're not even good Hindus, not good Christians, genuine Muslims. If we are genuine Sikh, genuine Muslim, genuine Hindu, there will be no conflict. Genuine Christianity is part of Krishna consciousness. Genuine Sikh is also Krishna conscious, only to some degree is there. When we say Krishna consciousness means you are fully evolved, 100% God conscious. So that is a goal. But not that you couldn't be Christian, you couldn't be in the same country. You could be and practicing and still no conflict. Such things are possible. But if we are sincere seekers of truth and following those different paths, then there could be a much more peaceful coexistence. No conflict, but coexistence. No confrontation, but cooperation. All those things would be possible if everyone would just go back to the principles in Puran or in Quran and follow them. We do not follow. And the politicians are also there to spoil the whole thing because of whatever gains they want to make from such motivations. And then everything becomes very messy. Okay, so this is just an introductory thought on that matter. More things could be said. So thank you very much for coming from all over the country and giving patient hearing and your keen interest in Krishna consciousness. Nidai Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bhav.